This is Caroline.
Hi, this is Sadie Sullivan from the Brooklyn Historical Society.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, is now still a good time to
talk? Sure, absolutely.
Okay, great. And just so you know, I'm recording our conversation.
Okay.
And actually, just for the recording and for our exhibit, if you could introduce yourself to the recording.
I'm Carla Chavez.
Great. So I guess my first question is, what is your connection to Bed-Stuy restoration?
My primary connection is that my father was involved early on with Bed-Stuy restoration and helping to create the organization.
Mm-hmm. And did you have memories of that as that was happening?
I do not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think I was 10 or 11 years old.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you have your line of work, your career has been in a similar field in terms of community empowerment. So I wonder that connection.
Yes. I mean, you're recording this. I'm not sure what I can bring to this project, but. You know, yes, absolutely. I'm in the same kind of general arena as Bed-Stuy, and of course I know that Senator Kennedy went to Bedford-Stuyvesant, heard from the people in the community that something needed to be done, not just talked about, and went back, engaged my father, and together they passed the Economic Opportunity Act, which created, as I understand it, the initial funding for Bed-Stuy and for other community development corporations. I've been working to end homelessness and deliver services to people who are homeless, help them get into the workforce for about 25 years, and have worked with community development corporations all over the country that do that work. And I think really they came out of the early efforts of Bedford-Stuyvesant.
Mm-hmm. So you definitely see, I mean, programs that Bedford-Stuyvesant Restoration instituted have had an effect nationally.
Yeah, I mean, they were the pioneers who first developed the whole model of a community development corporation responsive to the neighborhood, not there for profit, but really there to create social good for the neighborhood in the form of jobs and businesses and housing and services and programs that people who lived in low-income communities could benefit from, but unfortunately too often didn't because there wasn't enough investment in, companies or businesses in those communities. So, I mean, I think what they first did has been at the heart of something that's now spread to almost certainly every urban community in the country and many suburban and rural communities too in the form of these community development corporations. And Bedford-Stuyvesant was the granddaddy of them all that really inspired this work all over the country.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What do you think is the future for CDCs nationally?
Mm-hmm. Great question. Well, I think there's a really bright future for CDCs nationally. I mean, there's certainly still, a continued need for the work that they do. And, I mean, my own view is that they have done a really good job figuring out how to create affordable housing. And I don't know what the numbers are, but I'm sure hundreds and hundreds of thousands of units of affordable housing have been created as a result of their work. I think it's been more challenging to create businesses and economic development that really, bring people who otherwise wouldn't have a chance into the workforce. And I think that's the future, those kind of public-private partnerships that, you know, essentially the foundation of Bedford-Stuyvesant and the whole CDC movement has all been about. So I think kind of taking that to the next level so that, you know, people can get involved in jobs is really the next stage.
And can you tell me a little bit about the work that you do currently?
Yeah, that's largely what we do, although we're not working as much with CDCs, interestingly, but we're a nonprofit, and we provide kind of financial and technical assistance to other nonprofits that are creating businesses that are meant to employ kind of people with the biggest barriers to work, people who have been homeless, people with mental health problems or addiction, long histories of poverty. And so we help these nonprofits start kind of flourishing businesses that deliver goods and services that somebody wants to purchase, create jobs, and at the same time really focus on trying to hire and train and then, you know, kind of create pathways to employment in the private sector for people who probably wouldn't have a chance to get into the workforce otherwise, maybe because of a criminal record or a disability or, you know, a lack of work history, education. And that, you know, clearly there's a major, you know, it couldn't be more similar to what community development corporations have been all about, kind of trying to, you know, create these partnerships between the private sector, you know, for profits and those that are about social good, to get farther faster.
One of the things in looking at restoration's history is that the people mentioned that they had a very holistic look in terms of community development. Like, it wasn't just the brick and mortar, it was also this sort of social cultural. I wonder if that's something that you've seen in terms of its legacy.
Yeah, I mean, I think right from the beginning, I mean, as I understand it, when I look at the history, you know, it was people in the community said to people like my father that, you know, sort of problems had been studied to death and it was time to take action. And that's what they really pressed them to do and make these investments in these organizations. And that kind of voice of the community, people who live in a community saying what they need, has been, again, I think really at the heart of the CDCs. And people need more than bricks and mortar to move their lives forward. And so it's been about kind of giving voice to that and trying to address, you know, the cultural issues and, again, the need for jobs and services as well as housing.
So did you, in terms of your father's connection to restoration, was that something, like, did you...
I certainly knew about that, and I've obviously very, very proud of that relationship and the work that he was able to do with Senator Kennedy to initiate public funding that helped Bedford-Stuyvesant get going. And I know he always took a deep interest in, you know, making sure that anything that he got involved with, you know, continued and succeeded. And I think he took a lot of pride in the way that the people who were involved with the corporation very early on just made such tremendous progress. But again, I was really young, so I'm not going to be able to give you a lot of bird's eye view from when I was 11.
Right. Community development.
You know, the one thought I had, and I don't know, you know, how deeply or how much research you're doing, but all my father's papers are up at Stony Brook.
Oh, okay.
And there's, you know, there's a librarian up there, and so, you know, if you wanted to get, I mean, you may be able to just get it from Senator Kennedy's papers. I don't know, but I'm sure those are massive. But I'm sure that they would look for you, you know, for any mention of Bedford-Stuyvesant, or, you know, you could look at the hearings that took place. I think it was 67.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 67 when the Economic Opportunity Act was passed. You know, so they might be able to, you know, get a committee hearing or something like, you know, there might even be testimony from the people who started Bed-Stuy.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that might be a good resource.
That is. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
excuse me. I guess my final question is sort of in terms of CDCs and the future and the national movement and what a place like Restoration with a long history, what kind of a role do they have in terms of the future of the national movement?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that you know, practical, concrete examples of things that work and have worked for a long time are powerful. And Bedford-Stuyvesant Restoration Corporation has a long and proud history of really delivering on the early promise of the CDC movement. And I think just by thriving, doing their work well in their home community, they have a tremendous ability to inspire people all over the country who are trying to do the same, see how difficult it is and how challenging it is, and the ups and downs, frankly, of doing it. Sometimes it doesn't go as well. But that if you persevere and you keep your eye on the prize and you work hard at it, it's possible to have the tremendous success that the corporation's had.
Mm-hmm. Did you, speaking to that, the ups and downs, did you experience, I know that in the, when during Reagan there was big federal budget cuts to a lot of community development corporations, I wonder if that was mm-hmm. something that affected your work?
The Reagan years. I'm trying to think, what years was that? Was that early 80s?
Yep.
Yeah. I wasn't in the mix enough.
Okay.
At that time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really started in a big way kind of toward the mid 80s
mm-hmm.
to be involved with this. So, yeah, I probably can't comment on that.
Mhm.
But, you know, federal support was instrumental in getting CDCs underway to begin with, and I think it continues to be, you know, kind of a critical part of the equation. And the best of CDCs is about public investment leveraging private investment, and that's really what it's been all about, and it, you know, takes both parties to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
So continuing a strong federal investment is important, and you know, incentives to the private sector to participate, you know, and all the work that's been done to bring the banks and you know, other businesses to the table.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us.
Okay, I'm sorry. I feel like I don't have too much to offer. But,
no. I think it's the thing that we were excited about is your connection to the work today. Like, I think that's because what we're working on for the exhibit is, you know, of course it's the 40th anniversary, so we're celebrating the history, but we want to also say, like, and, you know,
right,
and going forth.
Right. Well, yeah, and, you know, now I'm with Red F, but, you know, for 15 years I was with the Corporation for Supportive Housing, and that's much more like, you know, LISC or Enterprise, kind of the intermediary style organization working on housing, and, So I was, you know, involved with CDCs all over the country, and it's, yeah, it was really kind of remarkable to see what came out of those, you know, really early efforts.
Yeah.
All over the country now.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible.
Yeah, I think the estimate we heard between 4,000 and 8,000 CDCs nationally. Do
wow.
you know? Do you know a number?
I don't, but you know, I mean, I would think it's, you know, Living Cities. You know those guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would think they're the ones who are tracking that kind
mm-hmm.
of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I may be wrong. But you know, I was really frustrated. I don't know if you saw this or have been able to find this. I was looking just on all those websites of all those people just for a number of housing units that they take credit for developing, the CDCs.
Mm.
And you know, it's funny. You look at all these sites, and they all talk about the problem, but you know, rarely do they talk about the solution. You know, the fact that they've contributed so much to these solutions.
It's
you know,
true.
I think
they're a humble group.
Yeah, they're scared to say that, you know, we're getting somewhere because somehow that's, you know, people think we're done with the problem. But I think it would be good if they promoted it more, you know,
yeah,
what they've done. So I don't know. You know, it might be interesting to see if you can get somebody. They have a different name now, Living Cities. It's, I can't think of it. But anyhow, you could. I'm sure you could find it if you Google them. But they might be able to tell you, you know, how many CDCs there are around the country, how many, you know, units of housing they've created, other outcomes. Because
mm-hmm.
LISC and Enterprise have been in touch with, I think, almost all the CDCs.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, just a suggestion.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And it's so true in terms of celebrating the successes. That doesn't happen enough.
Yeah. So this is going to be surrounding the dinner. You're going to do the exhibit.
It's an exhibit that's at the Brooklyn Historical Society. It'll open on February 28th.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. And so it'll be here for a while, and then it's actually being designed so that it'll be easy to travel, and it'll go spend some time over at Restoration Plaza.
Oh, wow.
In their space over there for a while. And then, yeah, so that's...
And it's going to focus on Bed-Stuy, but also talk more generally about CDCs. Is that the idea? Or
yes. Well, it's very focused on Bed-Stuy, but with the idea of, like, this 40-year history and what has it sprouted, you know?
Right.
And also we want to sort of leave it off of, okay... And this is all that's happened, and then now where we're going, what are the next steps, and,
right.
you know.
Right.
I think it's also exciting in terms of the election.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so
yeah,
it's
that's
interesting
great.
Timing.
Yeah, you might be able to get somebody there. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. All right, well, I hope, I don't know if there's a mailing list or something, but I'd love to, you know, just see what's happening with it. I get to the city sometimes, so I'd love to see it.
Oh, great. Yeah, yeah. I will send you the information.
Okay.
And actually, I have a, do you have, can I fax a release form to you?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And our fax number, hang on one second, it's 415.
All right. So I will do that.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope it goes really well. And, you know, if you need any help with Stony Brook or anything, just let me know.
Great. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.